The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, tells us a little bit about the reason for Tkiya Shofar. Amar Rabbi Abba, Lama Tokan B'Shofar Shalayil, why is it that we have a mitzvah to blow the horn of a ram? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tikul Lufanai B'Shofar Shalayil, Kedei She'ezkor Lachem Akedas Yitzchak Ben Avraham, U'mala Ani Aleichem Kilu Akadetem Atzmechem Lufanai. An amazing statement, the Gemara says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, you blow the shofar shel ayil, the ram's horn, and in that way I'll remember Akedas Yitzchak ben Avram, I'll remember how Yitzchak was bound on a mizbeach, ready to be moser nefesh, to give life and limb for me, umala ani aleichem, and I will consider it as if you, yourselves, each and every Jew who hears the shofar, kilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai, as if we had bound ourselves on a mizbeach and given ourselves over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara is making a very clear equation over here. The mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is equated with the heroism of Akedas Yitzchak. Now, but what exactly is the connection between the two? Tkiya Shofar is a relatively easy thing to do, especially if you're not the Baal Tokea. You just have to sit there and listen. How does that equate with the strength of character and the koach, the gvura, that it took for a Yitzchak, the courage that Yitzchak displayed at the Akedah? How could they possibly be even in the same conversation? Furthermore, in general, when we refer to the Akedah, we refer to Akedas Yitzchak. Yet you'll note in this Gemara, it does not refer to Akedas Yitzchak. It refers to Akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham. Why, in the context of the comparison to Shofar specifically, does the Gemara choose to place this emphasis on who Yitzchak's father was? And finally, the pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph pasuk Yud Ches, very well known pasuk, Im yiyu chataechem kashanim kashel yalbinu, vim yadimu chatola katzemer yiyu, that if our sins are going to be red, we're going to be stained with sin, that we will hopefully be zoche to have it all turned lily white, we'll be totally clean afterwards. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Pei Tes notes that there's an unusual usage of a plural in describing the redness of the wool. It doesn't say kashani, it says kashanim. And the Gemara sees a message in this nuance of a word change. Im yihyu chateichem seduros kashanim hasduros lechem yisheshes yimei bereshes oz kashel yiyu v'im lav katzemer yiyu. Says the Gemara, if your averos are arranged, are ordered, like the years have been arranged from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, one right after the next, one following on the heels of the next, then we're going to see that we're going to have a true kapara for all of our sins. So apparently our sins are supposed to follow a seder. As long as we're organized criminals, it's okay. What in the world does that mean? How could the organization of one's averos be the key to this tshuva being accepted? So again, three questions. First of all, what is the connection between Akedas Yitzchak and Tkiya Shofar other than the obvious ram's horn? But how can the Gemara compare the Mesiras Nefesh of the two of them? Second, when we refer to the Akedah, why is it in this spot Akedas Yitzchak ben Avram, whereas normally we only refer to it as Akedas Yitzchak? Why in the context of Shofar do we bring Avram Avinu into the picture? And third, why does the Gemara say that our averos, or what does the Gemara mean when it says that our averos are supposed to be arranged kashanim, like years? The Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Pevav Amud Beis records a machlokas whether or not averos shehisvad alein yom kippurim zeh yisvad alein yom kippurim acher. Should one who's already done vidui for averos in the past on a previous Yom Kippur go and do vidui again next Yom Kippur for those same averos? And we paskin like the opinion that says, kol shekein shehu meshubach, of course you should. It's even better. The more vidui, the better. Shenemar, ki pish'i ani eida v'chatasi negdi tamid. I constantly have my chatoyim in front of me. I'm always aware of my sins. I'm always aware of my dark past. And that's going to inspire me to a brighter future. And the Ksav Sofer gives a mashal. A person develops a terrible illness as a result of an excessive amount of junk food. So when the person is able to have a refuah, they have to take extra care in making sure that they eat right. If they continue their old habits of eating the junk food, they'll have nobody to blame for the recurrence of the illness but themselves. not only does the person now have to be careful with what he eats, but he has to be even more careful than someone who was never sick in the first place. This is where his problem began. It's where he's obviously most vulnerable. He obviously can't handle the junk food so well, and he obviously has a big yetzer hara for it. So he needs to be extra cautious when it comes to something like this. The same is true with our averos. If we've stumbled in a given area in the past, it's likely that we're going to have serious challenges in that area in the future. And therefore, we always need to be on guard from those averos. So it's always kedai, it's always worth it to again, do vidoy again. But taking the mashal one step further, if anybody's ever tried to go on a diet or tried to stop eating junk food and has begun to watch what they eat, they know that there's a lot more that goes into that change than simply the mealtime experience. It's really a lifestyle change. We don't only eat chocolate bars for lunch because we enjoy chocolate bars. We do it because we were so rushed in the morning that we didn't have a chance to make ourselves a proper lunch. When we get hungry in the middle of the day, so the most convenient place to turn is the candy machine. If one wants to be successful on a diet, it's not enough to make the decision that he's no longer going to eat the junk food. He has to change his entire day's schedule. He has to put himself in a context where it will be more convenient to reach for a bag of carrots than it will be to go buy a chocolate bar. And that's exactly what tshuva and the reflection we do on Rosh Hashanah is all about. We can't just feel bad about our averos and resolve to stop doing them. Who's going to sit through a shul, a davening, a yom narum davening done right, and not feel bad for their averos and resolve to stop doing them? But for how many of us is it really going to work? It's not enough. We have to change the context within which we have sinned. We have to alter our daily schedule to make sure that we won't come to a moment of nisayon, because if we allow it to get to that point, we've already failed. And we probably don't stand a chance against the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Nun Zayin interprets a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Va'otzem Einov Mira'os Berah, as follows. Gemara says the pasuk means, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Zeh She'ein Mistakel B'Nashim, B'Sha She'omdos Ala Kvisa. That it's a reference to someone who doesn't look at women when they're standing there doing the laundry. So Hechidami says the Gemara, what's the case exactly? E de'ika darka achrita, rushahu. If there's another way to go where he doesn't have to pass by where the location is that the women are doing the laundry, even if he averts his eyes, says the Gemara, he's a rasha. E de'leka darka achrita anasu. If there's no other way to go and he's stuck there and that's where he happens to be, so it's not his fault. So Chaim Shlovitz points out that one who passes by Pritzos with his eyes closed is very casually referred to by the Gemara as a Rasha. The reason for that label seems to be not just that he has sinned, because he hasn't sinned. He's looked away. But he's put himself in a context, in an environment, where he's liable to sin, where he's much more likely to sin. And that's what makes him a Rasha. Because a person could resolve not to do an Avera, and he may have the kalach to overcome his Yetzer Hara once, or twice, or five, or 10 times. But ultimately, when he keeps on putting himself in a situation where the sin is right there within his grasp, ultimately he's going to fail. Ultimately, what our real job is to bring ourselves out of that environment of sin, to put ourselves in an environment of Kedusha where the sin is not available to us. And based on this idea, we can go and answer all of the three questions we began with. This is why the Torah relates the tshuva process, which is symbolized by the wails of the shofar, to Akedas Yitzchak. Notice we don't refer to that event as Aliyas Yitzchak LaMizbeach. We refer to it as Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak. Why the binding? Why is the binding important? The fact that he went up on the Mizbeach, that he was willing to be Moser Nefesh, that everyone was coming at him with a knife. Why the binding of Yitzchak? The inspiration to do something great and be Moser Nefesh, to fulfill the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not the element of the Akedah that we learn the most from. What we stand to learn the most from is the fact that Yitzchak realized that in spite of his best intentions and his purest desires, he knew that when he sees a knife coming at his neck, he's going to jump, and he might passel himself. And therefore, what did he do? He planned in advance to avoid the Nisayon. He knew that if he's allowed it to get to a point where he's faced with the Nisayon, he would fail. So he sets up a context in advance where sin will not be an option. That's our job in Rosh Hashanah. Not only to cry about what we've done and resolve not to do it again, but to make sure that we plan to make the necessary changes in advance so that sin will not be a viable or enticing option for us. Perhaps it's in that context that we specifically refer to Yitzchak as Yitzchak ben Avraham. This life lesson, this midah, was something that Yitzchak learned from his father. Avram wanted to grow in his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he knew that it could not be accomplished in the context of the Avodah Zarah of his father's house. So what did he do? He left town. He didn't say, I'm going to be frum and I'm going to do it here in spite of everything. He left town. He didn't merely resolve to overcome the Yetzer Hara, because on its own, that's impossible. Avram realized that for all of its beauty, Sodom was not a place where he could thrive spiritually, so he didn't go there. For Yitzchak, that was a lesson learned. It isn't all about meaning well, about wanting to do the right thing. It's about developing a game plan to put yourself in the right situation so that you can succeed. When a person's averos are seduros kashanim, he stands a much better chance at achieving kapara. When a person realizes, what does this mean, seduros kashanim, that his averos are organized? It means that when a person realizes that his averos are not a series of independent actions, but they're part of a continuum, they're part of a set pattern in which he lives his life, then he'll come to the realization that the only way to solve that problem is by breaking the pattern, not by taking each and every avera on its own, but by taking the whole pattern, the whole context within which he's done all those averos, within which their seduros kashanim, one follows after the other, and destroying the pattern. Rosh Hashanah is not only a day for charata and resolve, it's a day to make decisions. It's an opportunity, when we're engaged in thought and introspection already, to build a new framework, create a new reality for ourselves. Resolving to go to a daf yomi shiur isn't going to do it. Maybe resolving to go to sleep a half hour earlier so that we can wake up for the Daf Yomi Shir without hitting snooze 10 times. Maybe that will do it. Resolving to treat our wives with greater respect. It's a very nice thing to resolve to do. But we should also resolve to ask ourselves each and every night before we go to sleep whether we treated our wives properly that day. We should resolve to have some form of introspection on a consistent basis so that it doesn't get out of hand. My friend tells the story of a woman who was having Shalom Bayis problems, and decided that when she serves her meals, she'll always serve her husband first. When she sets the table, she sets her husband's place first. And after a short time, she noticed that her attitude toward her husband was changing for the better. She always wanted to treat her husband with more respect, and thereby create a different mood within the house, which obviously he'll feed off of, and he'll treat her he'll reciprocate, and he'll treat her with the proper respect. But she needed a different context. She needed to do something on a consistent basis that will just change the whole basis for the relationship, that will change the whole language with which they talk to each other. And it did the trick. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't something big. It was something small, but it was something that was an underlying theme that carried through everything. And that's what our job is on Rosh Hashanah, not to find the Avera and say, I feel bad about the Avera. Of course we feel bad about the Avera. We're a Jew with a neshama. What Jew with a neshama doesn't feel bad about the Avera? That's not enough. We have to be able to figure out what the context of the Avera was and how to avoid that context. And Amir Tashem, when we do that and we're able to come to a sense of tshuva in the truest way by actually figuring out a way and by putting the thought that's necessary into developing a game plan to beat the Yetzer Hara, then we'll be zocha to a chesiva v'chesima tova.